Can you bring your business to the edge? The edge of computing, that is. My name is Helen Gidney, Softcat's Head of Architecture, and welcome back to Softcat's Explain It podcast. Every episode, we're here to talk tech in simple, jargon-free language. With the explosive growth of internet-connected devices in our everyday world, from our mobile phones to our cars and even our homes, we are generating a massive amount of data all the time. Traditional centralized infrastructures just can't keep up with the pace of that information. So how do we bring processing power closer to the source of this data to help us harness its insights? In today's episode, we'll dive in with the help of our expert guests, Gary Hawkins, Softcat's Chief Technologist for Hybrid Platforms, and Luke Price, Partner Technical Specialist at IBM. So, Gary, edge computing sounds exciting, but what is it?
Well, it's a good question. So think about real-world applications. So edge computing takes place on edge devices, edge servers, located in remote or distributed locations. And we can think of this in things like factory production lines, retail stores, banking, where we get cash from, seaports, very often safety, traffic management. And the most obvious one that we sometimes forget is smart handhelds and devices that we use every day. This is where we use the likes of SatNav, we use the likes of Google Maps, or we use interactive data exchange applications that give us the on-demand expectation of an outcome that we expect. So I guess in essence for edge computing, proximity to the data source is critical, bringing faster processing, better computation, real-time data storage on the device, and the analytics example of where we can get much more in what we know as the real business outcome that companies strive to deliver. So by improving those response times and that real-time analytics on those applications, it means that decision-making or that time-sensitive nature of what we come to expect is the real push for companies to move their workloads to what we may discuss as the far edge or the near edge. It really doesn't matter. I think I always put it as, and telcos term it as the last mile delivery. I term it as it's the first mile. It's the end user. It's the sensor. It's the IoT device. That's where it happens. That's where it matters. That's where the outcome is.
So that first step into collecting your data, bringing all that power and performance really, really close to that data to get more information out of it.
Absolutely. And as we go through, we'll explain the benefits, the whys and the hows and the challenges. And that between Luke and I is very much the context of today.
Well, that was a perfect segue. So we're talking about moving all of that power, all of that infrastructure much, much closer to the source of our data. But why would customers want to do that? Why would companies want to do that? What's the benefits there?
Yeah, why would customers want to do edge computing and move processing close to the data? The honest and easiest answer is speed and response time. And then there's a third kind of answer of possibly cost saving. Important decisions need to be made quickly on the edge of infrastructure so that things can keep moving smoothly, quickly, and therefore cost efficiently. We've got some real world examples from IBM that I plan to talk about today, which are we really help frame that in both a more commercial sense and like a business sense. So just really touch on those really quickly, just as sets of scene. You've got one end of the spectrum, like an Apple Watch, as Gary said, personal computing on wearable computing. And the other absolute opposite side of edge computing would be something that IBM deployed, which is called the Mayflower, which is an AI, purely AI-powered boat that's traveling the oceans. No captain, it's an AI-based captain, but those decisions need to be made quickly without interference, without interaction with anyone else, so that things can keep going smoothly. Those are the two levels that we're looking at in edge computing.
Wow, so massive differences in what you can do with this edge computing, but showing there just that speed of decision-making to be able to make changes. So what other kind of things could you do with this? Because you've sort of talked about one end of the scale with your personal devices, and then the other end of the scale straight into industry changing insights to reduce the need for people, which can be quite scary. But what other things can you do with it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So yeah, it definitely ranges from the small to the large and everything in between, because the edge is not a generic term, but it applies to wherever your data is. So a data center could be the edge of your business, depending on where you're actually processing information. But yeah, if you scale up from personal devices, you could then go treadmills, the next like step up, almost literally, because that's monitoring heart rate, speed, incline, that information. You don't want to, you know, send that somewhere else to understand it and bring it back to the person that's working out, for example. You need that. That's information that should be available, readily available. So that's processed on the edge where it's being created, on the treadmill. And then as you scale that up, you get more like business focus. So like Gary mentioned, shipping, for example, warehouse tracking, inventory tracking, maybe even sorting, collecting packages. That kind of information needs to happen quickly near to the data it's being created. Another really good example I would say would be backup and protection. So it's not obviously the topic of today, that quite broad topic in itself, but if you have smaller sites around in your particular environment, you want to back that data up locally where it's being created so you can get that quick recovery. So the context is the same no matter the problem, but you process near where things are happening so that you can get it back, you can understand it, and you can move forward with it.
Awesome. Thank you. So if businesses are able to understand those insights much, much quicker from consumer data, manufacturing, backup, protection, how does that help them as a business move forward, make improvements and change and improve for the future?
So from my experience, I think the enhanced customer service is very much where a lot of companies focus. So using edge computing to deliver personalized experiences, targeting ads, allowing that processing of data locally rather than putting that back in the cloud, because that's the cost optimization, not tromboning data backwards and forwards to optimize latency. That's one area. So the human effect of how we feel that we are giving what we need on demand in real time. And then you have much wider, more business centric, such as smart homes. So you've got the IoT devices. We all use many of those today, even from the Alexa to the Ring, and those sort of things that we use from a security posture. And that kind of then flows into, so how do those devices deliver a benefit and a maximizing of revenue and customer branding? So we get into the more detail of predictive maintenance. So the ability to have potential meantime failure awareness, that data analytics needs to be transacted at the edge on the device. And again, that then starts to give the value of how we can then move servers in a ruggedized form to be able to deliver that. And we see this in places like manufacturing as a service. It allows the manufacturers to respond to changing customer demands, that real-time monitoring of stock, how to process that faster. We see that if we look at the likes of the Deliveroo, we look at the Evri, we look at DPD, how the retail stores move that transaction and give those constant live updates. One thing I will say, and this is a double-edged sword, is it purports to improve security and privacy. Edge computing can enhance security. It can do that because by processing the data locally, it reduces that exposure to sensitive information and potential vulnerabilities. And again, by localizing it and not sharing it back to the cloud, you minimize the transport layer, you minimize the number of devices or intercepts that can happen. So with all of that done at the edge, the idea of the efficiency, the cost savings, the uptime, and the real-time analytics is what edge purports to be if designed, delivered, and built correctly.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Gary. Yeah, you can't just deploy edge. Well, you can quickly, but you have to do it correctly. Because like you say, the idea is to make it more secure. But if you do it quickly and without correct oversight, you could make it less secure, which obviously isn't a good idea. But so it is a double-edged sword. Do it right, it goes really well. Do it not so right, and you open yourself up to more attack vectors and more possible issues that we're trying to fix in the first place, and then less cost avoidance.
And does this come from that enhanced experience that doing computing on the edge gives to businesses or their end users or their customers by having more data, more personal data, and being able to react quicker and give a more personalized response? But then you're opening that up to, there's a lot of information there that, if, like you said, Luke, is not deployed correctly, you're sharing, or potentially sharing, that information out to the world and being really unsecure with your information.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The excellent thing about technology is that when one area progresses, others have to catch up or they're dragged up with it. So I think as Internet of Things and edge computing progresses itself and gets better and more powerful and is more widely used, even though it's incredibly widely used already, security will be dragged up with its capability. So encryption, et cetera. And then as, again, on the side, as like quantum computing becomes more of a thing in the world, as that progresses as a technology, how do you protect your already encrypted data against that kind of threat? So then adding cryptographic encryption protection to your edge devices. So security gets dragged up with everything else in the industry, which I think is really cool. It's less cool if you're left behind, but it's a really cool concept that as things get better, everything else seems to get better around it in order to correctly support it.
100%. And if you listening now want to go back and listen to an episode on quantum computing, we did an episode back in season 6 with IBM. But there you mentioned about IoT and edge computing. I think that's a really interesting point. Are they the same? Are they different? What do you guys think?
Well, I think edge computing is a generalized term of everything. It's the Internet of Everything. And that's sensors, machine to machine, machine to human, machine to any type of interaction. And that could be anything from an on-off to a real-time transaction of data that has to flow. But again, I think as edge computing grows, as we discuss the positives, the thing that then becomes a problem around IoT and the way it fits into edge computing is the security risks and threats can change. So the attack surface for potential security threats, lateral attacks, account thefts, DDoS attacks that we see that are now coming to the edge, as opposed to what we saw on the front line of our data centers on-prem or in the hyperscalers. So AI is as good as it's bad in this context, because AI is bringing that contextual awareness. You think about cell towers delivering 5G now. You think about content distribution networks to push stuff to the edge. All of that then opens up a new avenue. And of course, AI for the black hat hackers, as we like to call them, well, at least I do, they are as ahead of AI in the way they can infiltrate the benefits of edge. That's the challenge. So it's not just about understanding what it is. It's up to the companies in the way that they deploy it, they transport it, they secure it, and they deliver that real-time application feel. We as humans, we just want to be delivered that information. We don't want to wait. We don't want to know how it works. It's got to be seamless. But in a business context, there are a number of challenges around that as well.
Yes, I completely agree with what you've said, Gary. Is there, edge computing is like more of a generic term. Internet of Things is more of a subsection of the edge. Internet of Things is mainly a kind of a commercial term, a home user kind of individual term used. It does apply to businesses, but you hear about it more in homes and individuals. So the thermostat, for example, you want to be able to control that with your phone, because that's really cool and awesome to show off to your friends that you can change your heating from your phone while you're out at the pub on your drive home to work, for example. But you also don't want your heating to not work if your internet is unavailable. So that's why that becomes edge computing, because it can still turn the boiler on at home with no communication back to the systems that are making the remote capabilities available. That's the differentiator between edge and Internet Things. Kind of they require the local compute and understanding, the ability to control things without talking back to a data center or a cloud, but then they can to enhance that experience further. Yeah, and then going back slightly and jumping between the extremes, that Mayflower AI-powered chip, so that is, like I say, AI-powered, and it's got all the compute and storage on board. But if it does lose satellite communication because it's going across seas, it needs to be able to cache information, its decisions, make decisions. So there's a boat in its way, avoid it, etc., which it does do, which is really awesome. And then report what it did do back to control when it reestablishes connection, so we can understand why it made decisions, improve it, and just continue to learn. Also receive information, because it has a job to do. It's not just a cool bit of technology we've deployed in the ocean. It is scanning seabeds, etc., etc. But yeah, it's about being disconnected and still working, and then reconnecting to enhance the experience is also my kind of definition of edge computing.
I think some of the applications on that, Luke, are you think about computer vision cameras in 4K that can actually identify for security. Are people wearing tabards? Are they wearing masks? Are they walking in designated areas? And we see that in also areas in production for touchless logistics, how they can track. In the one example I worked on, where tobacco becomes a cigarette, becomes a card, becomes a packet, and how that moves through the production line. probably not the best example now as we're trying to ban it through the UK, but you see the value of that commodity service, the way that gets transacted right out to the transport system of how they then get delivered. That needs to be track and trace. That needs to have IoT. It needs sensors. It needs wireless. And it needs that tracking device to be able to work all the way through to the end consumer in many cases. So the use cases are huge. But again, it's the balancing the challenge and the benefits and knowing how the consumers receive it versus how the company's prepared to deliver it. And that is a different type of sales motion or technical project than we see with building service in data centers or buying virtual instances off the cloud. There is an optimization of cost there, sustainability that could then become an issue. And then, of course, data governance. It's great pushing everything out to the edge, doing it in real time and being a global company. But there's that thin line between where does that data reside? How much can it reside at the edge? And then what's the impact of having to go back to a designated on-prem to pull in the right data and not share it all at the edge? And again, that wraps itself into some of the security challenges that we see as well.
So that really opens up the flip side of the risks or complications that can come from doing edge computing. Having that instant response and that enhanced experience opens up massive vectors for attack, for hacking, and the big issue with security, but like you're also saying there, Gary, governing the data and cost optimization, like you said, because if you're setting up lots of this computing at the edge, that could be a spiraling cost for a business. You mentioned there, though, that you have to go back to the centralized data center. Do you have to do that with edge computing? Could you do it all at the edge?
No, I think if you think about the balance of data sitting at the edge versus cloud computing, I guess my analogy is the edge handles real-time data processing and the analysis can be done and be built succinctly on ruggedized infrastructure. I see the cloud as being more for more complex analytics, where there is a need to, analyze. Machine learning can do that. It can be a center at the edge, but bringing that complex data back for, analytics decision-making. And it also means for long-term data storage. You do over time with the pervasive amount of data as it grows, you can't keep it all on a ruggedized server. So there has to be a very tight connection between what you process at the edge for real-time analytics and then what you bring back to analyzing machine learning and use over time. And again, that's another security area, bringing around governance. But ultimately, you still want to make sure that the end user, the outcome is as efficient as it can be.
Yeah, and yeah, I completely agree on that. And I often use like supermarkets as a similar example to that. So when you scan an item, you want to know the price very quickly, that user experience. It's unlikely that they're going to keep prices central. And it could be in the middle of America, for example, depending on the chain, they're going to keep a database local with that pricing. But then as that ages out, you'll probably archive that off, keep it back up for records, you know, whatever proof you need as that business and send that central. But you keep a live, up-to-date, clean, cut-down version of what you need to be understood and processed rapidly in the store. Because every supermarket has a back office where they put a small amount of compute and storage, like say rugged servers, Wi-Fi connections, all the stuff to make it happen. And then that communicates with the point of service tills. But you don't want to keep sending you've scanned carrots, send that back to the data center to understand, come back. That could be 2 seconds. That is quick, but not when you're scanning items through a checkout, for example. So yeah, like you say, it's about keeping what you need very close and what you don't need, pushing that back up the line.
Yeah. And I think another area that sometimes gets missed is the energy consumption and sustainability. We're very firm on looking at our data in data centers and in the cloud and measuring that. But I don't yet think we've got to the point where we know how to measure. Edge computing can optimize energy, but as it grows and it becomes more sophisticated, the hardware that we're bringing out is more sophisticated. So therefore it's more power intensive, which can drive up the cost of energy. So there has to be a thought about how are we going to measure that. So if you get a push from on-prem to edge and we use workloads like Kubernetes, which we can come onto at some point, what is the knock-on effect of ESG and sustainability at the edge and how do you measure that? And I think that's another consideration.
So we talked a lot about the challenges that come with edge computing, giving that, again, enhanced insight, personalized information, keeping what you need at the edge and what you don't in the center, as Luke said. We're talking cost issues, security issues, data governance issues, and now sustainability issues. How should a customer approach this? What should they start thinking about when they're starting to implement this? What's the key challenge? What's the key benefit to do this? How should they assess them?
So from my side, I think it's understanding the deployment of the ruggedized infrastructure that's required. Most companies are still looking at that. Most vendors are bringing that ruggedized infrastructure out. And that testing, that hands-on proof of concept is still happening. And if it's less developed than it is in the cloud, then there's still an evolution of understanding how we engage and advance the edge. So that complexity can pose challenges in protecting the devices, particularly when it's in open terrain or outside. You know, this is into the atmosphere, takes all the weather hits. So the type of downtime and alerts and issues that you may get and the maintenance could be a factor to be considered. So that's the first way, thinking about the right topology, the right serviceability, and the maintenance controls. But I think the other thing is around containerization. For me, containerization is a very agile way of moving workloads, whether on-prem to the edge or to the cloud to the edge. And I think if we use an example of Kubernetes, this excels at dynamically scaling those applications, and you need that scale. So you need the ability to work on a container of applications that you bring to the edge. You take the demand from the end user, for example, and then you're able to easily scale it. So it has to adapt to varying workloads. And it's crucial, that edge compute environment where the connected devices and the data volumes can fluctuate. And again, going back to the example of 5G, we're pushing audio, video, voice, internet, data, streaming media, real-time data transactions all the time. All of that infrastructure has to scale. And so therefore, the management of the workloads very, very efficiently through a containerized, so a lightweight portable container, then is the start. So getting under the covers of the infrastructure, looking at the application, how you virtualize it, how you put it into very secure containers, and then how you do microservices and, you know, CI/CD and event-driven services. So that edge processing is all to be balanced in the way that the market is changing, the sensors, the IoT of everything is changing, and what's the customer experience expected at the end of it. So it's not an easy, it's just in this box and it'll work. There's a number of area and stages that have to be considered when you engage in a customer understanding of how they can use Edge.
Yeah, so I totally agree, Gary, with what you're saying. And I think containerization is obviously the next push in the industry in general, but it also really helps facilitate edge computing and on that sustainability front, that energy consumption and the size. So as containers are very lightweight and can be chopped up into the bits that you need, more of what you need and less of what you don't, that means you can have relatively small footprints and then run the similar services that you would do at a more larger virtual machine, for example, or even physical system scale, but chop that down to smaller, more manageable pieces that you can then move around. And I think a really good example of using containers, again, I think to live on like shopping kind of concepts when I'm describing technology, because they're really, that's a lot of money in shopping and commerce. So they drive this business really well. But it's like, you know, Black Friday sales or Prime Day from Amazon, for example, they have a massive influx of customers. They are online stores, of course, but also physical stores like Tesco's and other supermarkets. When they have massive, unique sales in a point of year, they need to scale those resources. So you're probably not going to ship more hardware to a supermarket in order to facilitate that, but you would have some systems that you can add extra containers on and add an extra web application, another database, another payment processing system, and then delete it the next day when that sale has calmed down. So that's the other side. So you're not just investing for what might happen. You're spinning things up, being elastic with containers for when things do happen. And that saves cost. It saves money. It's more environmentally friendly. You're not leaving things running that aren't doing anything. And it also means that if updates need to be pushed out en masse, because containers are very, very small, they're usually built from scripts. So they're not really installed. They're configured. They're grown. That small changes can then be very easily distributed across a wide location. So your central data center pushes out a change to every store. Their edge computing understands that change and redeploys the systems, and everything comes back up with the new settings. So yeah, I think it's containers are an excellent play. IBM have been pushing containers as a technology very hard over the last few years with what we call Fusion. I won't go into too many details about that, but the container offering from IBM is called Fusion. It's based on OpenShift from Red Hat, and it enhances Kubernetes deployments and make things simpler. So again, on your adage, Gary, of it, it has to work. It has to work well. Ideally, it needs to be simple, and you need to configure it correctly, like we spoke about earlier. But one of the best ways to do that is if something is as packaged as it could be. So someone else has worried about security, patching, compatibility, energy consumption, and you can kind of productize a complex deployment with all the metrics that you'd want to understand in the first place. So that's where IBM kind of slide into that area in terms of technology. But the other cool thing that I really just touch on very quickly is containers are difficult, even if you take a packaged solution. So understanding them, you need technical skills on how to understand and how to move applications. So if you had a website, for example, that has a database, that has a web front end, that has some processing, how do you chop that up and turn that into pieces that you can run on containers? So yeah, IBM offer what we call expert labs, which is just people, and they'll sit down and understand the problem and help fix that problem, create a solution for you. That's one of the unique points of IBM that's worth mentioning, because it is a scary topic, because same way VMware was when it was first released a good few years ago. It was new, it was scary, no one knew how to do it. So doing it well was very difficult. And that's becoming the case with containers. More people are doing it, more people are deploying it, but the amount of people doing it correctly and securely isn't as high as you would want it to be in terms of like existing VMware deployments.
So containers are essentially small, more agile VMs that you can store a much smaller amount of information in and move much quicker, scale up or scale down as needed. Couldn't customers just use containers in the cloud instead of doing something like edge computing? Could that be an option?
I think containers do seamlessly integrate with cloud services, and it enables a hybrid approach to edge computing. So leveraging where the outcome is, where the devices are, what the cost of overhead of moving that data, where you store it, how you transact it. The decision doesn't have to be technical. It can be more business-led, doing the right thing from a data governance, being more efficient in optimizing costs. We know egress costs of storing data in the cloud is sometimes a point of contention. So we're trying to evolve the edge to be anywhere the outcome is, but it works in parallel, in concert with cloud, it works with on-prem, and it will work with near to far edge. I guess it doesn't matter, as long as the customer receives what they need, the business are understanding the value of the data, and AI is coming a long way to do that. So it's a seamless integration, whether it's on-prem, in the cloud, or at the edge. And you just have to strike the balance of what's the best, most efficient, optimal way of delivering.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, I'd link it to real-world examples, like names a little bit. So I think like Netflix and other streaming services, Amazon, are great examples of that, because they don't really have an edge where the customers are, because they're an online service. So the edge to them is getting as close to the customers as they can. So they would use cloud to facilitate edge computing to their customers. So they have content stores around the world. New show gets distributed around the planet. You don't want to be dragging the new series across the Atlantic, because that streaming provider hasn't sent a cached copy to your region. So that's how they achieve edge computing without actually having a physical edge. That makes sense. So they're using cloud to facilitate edge computing in that manner. And I think that it's a strange concept when you think that there is, you just log on to your phone or your TV and consume that media, but there's so much technology behind it, making sure that experience is smooth and works and you paid your subscription and it's worth it, that it's really quite impressive what happens behind the curtain.
And I think that's quite interesting, because that goes back to the, why is my phone showing 3G when I should get 5G? And why is that delivery? So is it Netflix? Is it the content distribution network? Is it the country, the area in the world that I'm in? So again, we've talked about edge devices and we've talked about Kubernetes, but behind that, you still have the network, the transportation, and the wireless coverage. So again, I think it's not a one thing, one hit wonder. It's you have to look at all of the layers of technology and all of the areas to deliver it, and then look at the evaluation of where the challenges or the fault isolation could come from.
And I think that's a great place to leave it. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Gary, for joining me today. There's some fantastic subjects there, and I think gives a real insight into edge computing can give incredible enhancements and insights to customers and their end users and their consumers, but there are so many layers to think about to make sure it works effectively. So really consider that if you are looking into doing edge computing. So if you want to listen to more episodes from this season, we'll be releasing them on the last Tuesday of every month. Alternatively, you can stream and download all episodes from every season on your preferred platform. We'll be back next month with another topic to talk tech in simple jargon-free language. Thank you for listening to Explain It.